Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In today's episode, we welcome in my beautiful queen, Matilde, again as a guest speaker for the Queen Perspective special series. In today's episode, we're going to be doing a deep dive on the seven... I could almost call them the seven deadly sins of marriage-destroying behaviors of narcissistic mother-in-laws. I'm really pumped and excited to speak to this topic. And again, amore mio. Matilde, I rarely ever call you that, but as a guest, I need to give some references to what your first name is. Baby, it's beautiful to have you on the show, as always.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
There's been, since the last time that you were on, this is like part and parcel of bringing this topic core and central today. I really want to put it out there to every man listening in, and by extension, it's more particularly to invite their queens in on this conversation if they resonate with the topic. But since the last time that you were on, you've launched your podcast, Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. Can you just quickly give us a little bit of a lowdown as what has happened? It's been quite spectacular over the last, I think it's 6 weeks, but just give the guys listening in just a little bit of background of the launch of your podcast, the topic, what it's about, and like why, super quick intro as to why you took on that topic and on that podcast.
Yeah, sure. Well, it initially started because I realized my mother was a narcissist, is a narcissist, and I went through quite an intense healing journey in the last 3-4 years on this topic. And during that journey, as I was talking to women that I met and clients, I was doing my regular women circles and stuff, I realized that as a issue is incredibly common and widespread. Like, pretty much every woman has mother wounds of some sort, and a vast majority of mothers have narcissistic traits, and they've had behaviors that were of narcissistic nature towards their daughters. And these brings a lot of consequences in your everyday life as a woman, in the way you're relating with anyone around you. Obviously, romantic relationships are highly affected by this. And pretty much everything that was going wrong in my life was down to that, was caused by that relationship being unresolved within myself. So yeah, I just wanted to support as many women as possible, and that's what I want to do in healing, the same way as I have been doing and I'm still doing, because it's not something that you know, can say you've done and that's it. You just keep on doing. And the podcast launched in June, at the beginning of June, and we went from 0 to currently 700 listens per week. So I am absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, it's going really good. And very quickly, we had to establish, like, within our own marriage, it's like, okay, this is not a competition between podcasts. And I can tell you guys listening in, is like, I rapidly had to take this, like, really sincerely, go, okay, it's not a competition, because the numbers that you're getting and the growth of your listenership is like, you're whooping ass. So there's actually no competition in a way. Women are taking to it in an extremely beautiful and sincere way. You're striking home. The topic is so all pervasive, obviously, as you're saying, Bellissima. And I just really sort of put that up in the dashboard of guys listening in, to really listen in to today's episode. Like, maybe some of you immediately from the topic, from the title, you're like, yeah, hell yeah, you already know. You might have a deep, acute knowing that your mother-in-law has a narcissistic persona, et cetera, et cetera. Others might be sort of on the fence. You mightn't realize, but it's so all pervasive as shown by their rapid growth of my beautiful Queen's podcast numbers and listenership. It's so all pervasive. You could almost assume that it's having some negative impact on your marriage, almost, such is the all pervasive nature of it. Let's jump in, Bellissima. I'd love to. There's so much there. There's like the seven deadly sins, as I'm liking to call them this morning. Let's jump into number one. And is there any order of priority here, or are they all sort of just evenly? What way would you talk about the seven? Are there any major ones to look out for, or is it just like an even spread?
I think it's an even spread. And you might find, what I want to say is that you might find bits of all of them into the behavior of your mother-in-law. And they're not necessarily separate from each other. As always, when we do bullet points, when we do a list, we're trying to simplify things to make it more understandable, but they kind of interweave into each other. So yeah, I think there's probably one or two as we go along the list that are more obviously destructive, but yeah, all of them can cause quite a bit of damage.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that clarifying. I just want to own front and center. It's like you've been doing so much work in the podcast, you've been doing the stuff in your mother. It's like this episode here, it's really bringing like tons of what I call energetic memory boxes, where there's like these memories and this high charge energy latched on to it of dealing with your mother down the years. I have to say, it's like you've been speaking so frequently about, oh, you know, writing that episode and doing that episode, it's like, you know, there's just this energy being released. I'm live. I just want to own that with guys listening in, and of course with you, Bellissima. You know, when I read through this list, like the first one, we jump straight in, but it's like, oh my God, is what, and there's other definite high-end, high-charge choice words that I won't denigrate the space with, that I, of words that I have to describe your mother beyond narcissistic. You know, narcissistic is the politically correct. I have a long list of other words, which I just want to say, I'm laughing, I'm smiling. We've done a lot of work. You've done such amazing work. We're in a good space with that. But boy, it's been hard. Before we go into the topic of it, which is potent, is beautiful, I want to own that with guys and just lead with that. This has been catastrophically hard for me as a husband, and I know by extension yourself, Bellissima. It's been catastrophically destructive for years. The weight of this was one of those potential things that, hey, there was many times where we were pushed to extreme edges, where the amazing love and bond that we had together, we somehow just stayed together in a miraculously victorious, beautiful way. But boy, this topic alone pushed it to the edges, to the limits. So just to build in a bit of the reality of this topic for myself as a man, this, like, witnessing you and these seven deadly sins of how your mother showed up and how that affected our relationship. I really want to just own this. Really pushed me to the absolute fucking limits of my mind's capacity to be able to show up as your husband, as a dad. It was nightmarish having your mother like come to our house, to her home. I might share some stories throughout in the different signs, but I wanted to kick off with some real, authentic, true inner reality and how this has been for me and by extension for yourself. So with that bit of a context and foundation laid, first deadly sin of your narcissistic mother, my mother-in-law, point number one is no respect for boundaries. Please take us deeper, Bellissima, as to what that looks like, feels like, what are the signs of how that shows up in a narcissistic mother-in-law?
Yeah. So, well, actually, I just wanted to add one thing to what you said of how destructive that was for us. And just very quickly, one of the main reasons also was that destructive is because we didn't know of narcissism. We actually didn't know. We were not aware. I just thought that was just the way a mother is. You thought that's just the way a mother-in-law is. And there's like this mystical creature that you can't really speak about in a bad way. And mothers-in-law, well, there's so many jokes about your mother-in-law is just like, she's just bad by default. But it doesn't have to be this way. So I suppose the purpose of this episode is actually bringing awareness to that. Once you know that that is what you're dealing with, then you're going to approach it different. So yeah, number one, no respect for boundaries. That's a really big one, because narcissists in general have zero respect for boundaries. And let's also give this little bit of context. If your mother-in-law has any of these behaviors that we're going to talk about today, chances are, okay, 99.9% of chances are that she is a narcissistic mother towards her daughter. So everything that she's doing to you as a couple and within your relationship, she has done to her own daughter 10 times since she was a child. So that's really important to understand too. So if she doesn't have any respect for boundaries with you as a couple, with you as a family unit, she hasn't got any respect for boundaries with her own daughter from the very beginning. So that means your wife, your queen, finds it very difficult to set boundaries by herself, okay, towards her mother. So this is gonna have this open runway for your mother-in-law to just come in and intrude into your everyday life as much as she wants, really. Sometimes going as far as spying on your life, like, you know, nowadays with social media, that's really easily done. She can get all the information that she wants and then use them the way she needs to use them, which is usually to gain control of the situation of her own daughter and keep that entanglement with her daughter and with whatever her daughter is creating in her life, which is your family ultimately. She will expect immediate answer and immediate results. So she will ring at any time. She can go as far as coming to your house, wherever she wants. She could be already living with you. Because they do that, they can find reasons and ways to actually be so entangled that they end up living in the same house as you. And she will want immediate results. Whatever she's asking, whatever she's needing has to happen, disregarding completely what your priorities are, what your life is. And also another way she can intrude in your boundaries is nagging constantly about everything so that she can be a part of everything that you're doing. You know, like if there's any event, anything, she'll want to be there. She will want to be present and make her present, her presence abundantly obvious. Like she won't be the one that respectfully goes with what you decide. Maybe she has organized your wedding. Maybe she organizes parties and events that are about you and your children. You know, things like that. She will just come in and do all of that. And I can talk about each one of these points for hours, so I'm just going to keep it short.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I just have shivers going down my spine as you're pointing this out, because it's like all those energetic memory boxes. One that really jumps out, which I think it's like at the peak of how destructive. I think it's like the peak of in my entire marriage with you. It was my peak experience of how screwed up this relationship with your mother was. And it just like, I don't know, at the time, was it like, were we 9 years together? I think Yelena was on the scene. It was in our last house where, if I'm remembering correctly, it was the last time your mother came up to Ireland and stayed with us. But we were driving back from where you had the horses at the time, and you remembered very clearly. Yeah. It just was, we were having this conversation. Actually, it was about a horse that your mother was like incessantly saying to bring into her lives, that she was going to do shit. And I remember at the time just, I hadn't done any work. Our marriage breakdown, breakthrough experience had not happened. So at that point, I was just in the total wraps of nice guy, no boundaries, couldn't say no, et cetera, et cetera. But I was deeply frustrated. And she was sitting in the back seat of the car, in between our daughters, and we were in the front seat. You were in the passenger seat and driving on. And I was trying to have a conversation with you. I was actually, despite the nice guy persona, I was trying to speak some sense into the situation about this horse and trying to set a boundary with you. And I remember, like, just on the no respect for boundaries, this, I'm really trying, it's a real difficult thing to keep choice words and not just fucking assassinate her for how she was showing up. This incessant commentary and criticism from the back, when I was like, as a husband and wife, we were trying to have this, clearly it was an important conversation. Clearly I was trying to communicate with you. You were trying to respond. And she was just incessantly nattering from behind, to the point at which, guys, hey, definitely I'm infinitely more embodied now. At that point, it's like, whatever it was, 8-9 years of taking this incessant bullshit and having no respect from her, I jammed on the brakes, turned around, and I absolutely effed her out of it. And it's like, hey, one of those moments of, you know, am I proud of that? No, I lost complete control. You know, the masculine practice, I now know, is, you know, holding conscious, being consciously aware and present, etc., etc. No, I was just totally out of control. But it was a total rage of years of incessant lack or incessant disrespect of boundaries. And again, that conversation is like, I just couldn't fucking speak with you, Bellissima. So yeah, that memory is like one of the epicenter memories that comes up for me, where no respect of boundaries and the black and white destructive nature of what that brought into our marriage. We ended up, like, effectively, I think there was a blessing in disguise. It was so bad. It was so dramatic. And there was arguments at the house when we went back, where she was like wrapping you under her wing again. But it was so bad that it brought yourself and myself to a new level of awareness. Again, what you said, it's when you accept and become aware of how bad this actually is and how bad that effect is. It brought us to, ultimately, to a foundation where I think we started really doing work on that, and you started doing work. So yeah, that's just some of what's live for me when you say no respect for boundaries to catastrophic levels. Rock on to point number two, baby. Yeah.
I stop making the announcements of my points. It's my list.
All righty. Is there anything you would like to add to the first point?
I wanted to say, I do remember that catastrophic event. And we are going to circle back on this at some point. So this episode is to give awareness, but it's really important that once you get awareness as to the fact that your mother-in-law is a narcissist, remember that your queen might realize that, or she might not. And if she's completely entangled with her mother, if you go to her and tell her that, oh, wait, your mother is a narcissist, or if you get angry with your mother-in-law, you do things like that, that can actually really strengthen the toxic relationship between mother-daughter and put you in a really bad position. So it's just to say, because like I do remember that episode, and by the end of it, yes, we did go through and we actually found ways to work on it, but the beginning effect was you became the bad guy, which is totally unfair. But that's what happens when, like, I was totally unaware of the dynamics between myself and my mother. So that's it's just a really important point, because it can backfire in some cases. So point number two, yeah. Criticism, which you mentioned just a second ago. Criticism is one thing. She's going to go heavy on it. And it doesn't matter how you show up. She can criticize you as a husband. She can criticize your queen all the time. She can criticize you as a unit together. She can criticize how you run your family. Like, the list is endless. It just can be a criticism after the other. And she will hold on to your failures. So not that there are any failures, but you know what I mean? If something goes wrong, she will remember it forever. They have incredible memory for the things that they can use against you. And so they will, your failures will be brought up. And they will be brought up in a really cute way, because she will do that lovingly. Like, it'll sound like she's being loving and that her tone is loving and that she's only saying that because she wants to be helpful, that kind of way. But she's not. She's obviously triggering and doing it on purpose to create disharmony and conflict, which in turn is going to be bringing her control of the situation. And she can do that also in front of others. So hold on to your failures. And then with that same tone at a family dinner with everyone gathered, just bring them up innocently, which will obviously, you can understand how that feels. So that's point number two.
Yeah, what's like for me, and I know you have experienced this, because I would just bring this, I'm continually bringing this into the culture here at Be the Husband She Brags About, is the point of heroic humility. A major point is, I speak to this, like, we've all grown up in a profoundly sick society. This idea that there's like, all the initiatory rites of passages have been predominantly stripped out. So it's like we're an uninitiated society. So a core part of that is like, you know, yeah, we're speaking to your mother-in-law, but there's a high chance, what I've observed in I think every single guy I've worked with in men's circles, heroic husbands, men's circles, one-on-one coaching, etc. It's been 4 years. There's hundreds of guys around the world at this point, and expanding every week. Nearly every single guy has his simultaneous own issues with a lack of boundaries with his family of origin. So I want to bring this in, guys, because I know myself, you know, there's a potential danger point in this. You're listening to this episode and you go, oh my God. And you're armed and potentially dangerous with like a judgment, like Bellissima, what you were saying. It's like, hey, just take care, like, move forward with tact, mm-hmm. Into the conversation. But one major blind spot for every guy that I've worked with is you can see it really easy in the other person. I could see it really easy in you, Bellissima, really easy, like from early days. Oh my God, your mother acts like this. This is crazy. You could see it really easy, my lack of boundaries with my own family of origin. So I just want to temper guys listening in. Yes, get radically clear with these points. You know, already, no respect for boundaries. If that's high in the list, acknowledge it, accept it. If it's a reality, go, yeah, that's true. That is destructive, criticism, and all the other points that are going to come. But temper it with a humility that your wife isn't screwing up. And you more than likely are completely unaware of, you don't have exact, precise, grounded, conscious boundaries with your family. Bring that soft human awareness. I just really want to make sure this is safe for your wives, that you can enter into the experience in a safe way. If it's safe for your wives and she can feel seen and heard and safe as you enter that conversation, she'll respond. But a part of that softness and that heart-centered approach is just having the humility to go, you probably have your equal dose in ways, and it just mightn't be so obvious, but it's important to bring that beautiful, heroic husband, open-hearted softness that your wife isn't at fault. She isn't screwing up. She's having a human experience, and that doesn't make her bad. That doesn't make her wrong. That makes her human. So meet her from that soft perspective. Just a bit of context, baby. I know myself as I'm listening in, this is quite jarring for me, and we've done so much work. Some guys that are just coming maybe to it for the first time, I just want to make sure that there's a support there and a context that keeps it safe for their divine queens and goddesses, that, yeah, just keeps it safe.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're good to go to point number three.
Rock on, baby.
So this one is one of the big ones in terms of being in your face and destroying a marriage. It's called triangulation, a big fancy word. But ultimately what it means is that the person, in this case, the mother-in-law, plays two parts against each other's and towards her. So she will whisper in her daughter's ear bad things about you, again, in a loving way, in an innocent way, in a way that sounds like she's just concerned for her daughter's well-being and da la la. But the result is to put husband against wife, wife against husband. Now, this can work the other way around too. She can whisper into your ear and criticize her daughter. That depends on the dynamics of mother-daughter relationship. You know, the entanglement can have different flavors to it. So it can work both ways, but effectively she will create discord and conflict between the two parts, rather than being there to help you through conflict, which sometimes we need an elder to give us a hand at certain times. She will use the conflict to create more conflict. So yeah, that's something to really watch out for. And again, yeah, this episode is about narcissistic mothers-in-law. So your queen has a mother-in-law too. So as Mark was saying, it's like, become aware of the behavior of your mother-in-law, absolutely. But yeah, remember that your queen could be experiencing similar dynamics coming from your own mother, and that's really tough. That's it really on this point.
Yeah, triangulation and on your queen's mother-in-law could be doing the same thing. It's like the uninitiated guy that has yet to come to men's work is like, "Don't touch my mom." You know, that's my that's my mom you're talking about. You know, she's an angel. My mother-in-law is a bitch, but she's an angel. It's like, don't touch my mom. It's like, guys, you know, in men's work, we get real. And none of this is actually to make, I joke. I do have like lots of words about Matilda's mother. That is like, I allow myself go there at times to just vent. But like, it's not about making an enemy of the other human being. It's not about making your mother-in-law wrong. Actually, that is sort of part and parcel of the bind. The more you make them wrong, the more, you know, she's controlling the situation. It's just getting aware about the dynamics. It's like, don't build more of a monster. Just go, these dynamics, they do not work for the sacred nature of your marriage with your queen. That's it. If it doesn't work for your marriage, then it definitely is not working for your kids and your parenting. And so just that bit of context, the triangulation, boy, the amount of memories I have of that. I remember so often. It was like, we've just like, I just to, again, playing with the story of this, and I just really want to invite guys in onto the real nature, like firsthand experience of this. At this point in time, unless Bellissima, your mother, I know you've, this is no news to you, but it's like, unless she bangs her head on a rock, has some St. Francis of Assisi, like spiritual breakthrough shit that happens, she's never going to be a guest in our family home.
Yeah.
And it has come from the point, guys, of the river of shit was that much, like triangulation every single time. And I was like the nice guy persona. I wanted to be nice. I never wanted to say no, even though I was like, every visit, it was like, thank God she's gone. I remember it was like the celebratory. I survived. I made this stupid jokes that she, I know she laugh at. And like, you know, I had my persona. I did set some badass boundaries at certain key moments, which like I'm very proud of. But by and large, I was trying to just like, you know, keep things peaceful. But triangulation, it was like this constant thing. I'd have a nice what I thought was, man, I'm just after having a nice conversation with Esmeralda. I was like, that was nice. And then like, you know, 2 hours later, I'm talking with you, and she was like, she was just criticizing everything I had said. My point of view about, I remember one point about the dogs. I remember it's like, I just had like what seemed to be a nice conversation about my approach with our dogs. And I had asked her, is like, hey, you know, like, just if you could, you know, not pet them when you're at the table, or, you know, simple shit like that. And she was like, yeah, you know, it was all sort of smiles and almost like agreeing with me. And 2 hours later, I'm talking with you. She's like, and you just told me, it's like, oh, my mother just came in, stormed into the room and started criticizing like Mark about all this bullshit that he talks about her, about dogs, and who the hell does he think I've no idea about dogs. I mean, I've had more dogs than he ever had, blah, blah, blah. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, she was sort of so nice and sweet as honey in that conversation. And I actually thought we just had a nice, engaging conversation. Isn't it nice to be able to talk with this woman at times? And no, it just was not possible to have had a conversation where you could take it at the face value. There was always this constant going back to Matilda with this sort of cyanide, drip, 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 drip of cyanide, of poison in your ear about shit about me. And I do know we had a great bond like that kept us firm, but like that just was an oppressive weight on your shoulders. You could intellectually notice and say that was bullshit, but it just was really heavy shit. So that's triangulation. Baby, is there any other comments or reflections that's coming up for you before we move on?
It's again, it's the entanglement. You, when you, this works both ways. This works for sons with their mothers too, but like we're talking specific now about the mother-daughter relationship, the entanglement is really strong. Really, really strong. Like one of the ways, like one of the steps in healing from having had a narcissistic mother is find your own self-identity. You detach from your mother. So when your mother-in-law does that, like you've just described that situation with the dog, so she just will come in and speak to me about all the things that were bad about you and your approach, it's really difficult, because as a wife, you obviously want to defend your husband. You clearly agree on some level, that's why you're doing this thing together, but then at the same time, it's really hard to go against your mother because of all the entanglement. Like, it's really, really difficult. So yeah, the your queen is put in a situation that is really hard. Unless she does work, unless she understands this kind of toxic relationship and she starts doing work on it, you really need to be gentle and compassionate about it, because it's one of the most difficult relationships to sort. And I speak from experience in that I've worked on a lot of different things. I've done inner work since I was 18, 19. And yet that was the knot that was at the base of everything. And it was the hardest to unravel and to understand. So we're coming to point number four. Point number four is campaign of denigration, meaning she will talk behind your back. And so how is that different from the one before? Triangulation was just specific with the two of you. This is a proper campaign. Like, she's going to town. She's going to every person that you know that she has some kind of influence on, and she's speaking bad about you behind your back. And again, this could be about you as a husband, or about your queen, or about you as a unit, as a family unit, what you do with your children, the way you live, your jobs, whatever. And this is already bad in itself, clearly. But what it will cause or can cause, and what she will direct towards you, are what are called flying monkeys, which means these are people that have been controlled and directed by the narcissistic person to come at you from all angles and trying to bring you back into whatever entanglement that she is orchestrating, whatever situation that she's trying to gain control on. So, for example, this can happen when you try to break free, you try to start set some boundaries. You decide that, no, hold on a second, this birthday party of our kids is going to be us that organize it. We are going to decide who's coming. It's about us. It's a family event, just the four of us, maybe in our case, me and you and our kids. And she seems to take that on board, but then she goes around and talks bad about you and your choice to everyone else. And then you start having siblings or grandparents or whoever coming at you going, oh, well, what you did to your mother-in-law there, that was, you know, that was really not on, and oh, she's suffering so much, and blah, blah, blah. So make her look like the good person and you like the bad person.
We're coming back from Italy at the time of recording. We've come back from going to your home place for the first proper time in 6 years. There was all the COVID silliness, blah, 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 tons of stuff. And apart from like a 2 day super quick weekend trip, it was 6 years and a lot has changed. But because we hadn't been back home, there was that experience with your granddad, who has, you know, quite the relationship. It's like your mother calls him every single day. But because we hadn't been back in Italy for such a length of time, you know, there was this noticing. We homeschool our girls. We unschool them. It's like a very informal way of educating, which, different topic for a different day. It's sensational, their intelligence. It's sensational, their level of education, their level of quick-witted, critical thinking. It's an amazing way. However, like, Matilda's granddad was like sort of slowly but surely over the years, like cranking up this extreme level of, you know, criticism on the phone with you and just a total disrespect. But it was like getting worse and worse. And when we went down to Italy and we had lunch, we were with Matilda's granddad for the day. And we got talking, and it was his partner. He's not with Matilda's grandmother, his partner for the last 30 odd years, and her daughter was there. And beautiful stroke of universal luck. His partner's daughter is a vice principal, so she's big into education. It opened up this amazing conversation, an open-hearted, open-minded conversation about, you know, why were we unschooling, why were we homeschooling the girls? And being yourself and myself, we were pretty badass, very grounded with our points. It it supported this his partner's daughter to go, wow, you know, guys, like, she was in full agreement with everything. In actual fact, she started stating, yeah, we're actually seeing the pitfalls in regular schooling of what you're pointing to and your reasons why you unschooled. So, cut a long story short, it was a beautiful event, and I had lots of time with Matilda's granddad, you know, by the pool, sort of man-to-man chat, you know, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And yeah, Bellissima, can you just sort of give the heart essence of the correspondence that you had with his partner's daughter that sort of gave that feedback of what was actually going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, she reached out to me afterwards explaining how my grandfather had been in the range of fire of my mother. Effectively, just there had been a full-on campaign of denigration going on. She had gone to town as to how bad you are as a partner and how bad this choice of having our children homeschooled is. So my grandfather was getting these like on a daily basis, and clearly having a closer relationship with her and us being far away is easier to control. And so then I was getting the results of that on at the end of the phone every single time. Thankfully, then the family gathering has cleared a lot of air on that topic. But again, because we were aware of what was going on, and with the awareness, we could see the dynamic, and then we could set boundaries and we could respond in an appropriate way to it.
And I suppose part of this is in dealing with this as a family unit, yourself, myself, Bellissima, you know, the campaign of denigration, it was sort of happening even before, but as a direct result of you setting a pretty non-negotiable, like, total low tolerance to bullshit boundary, it's like high standards, you know, the boundary is, if to give details to the guys listening in, the boundary is if Matilda's mother shows up with high levels of respectful communication, she's received with an open heart by Matilda, by us. That's sort of like the thing. But it's pretty much, we don't know if in this lifetime that's ever going to be available to her, if she's going to have the humility to do that. But that's a non-negotiable boundary. This sort of, these campaigns of denigration have definitely cranked up ever since you've sort of stopped jumping on the phone, you know, being at her beck and call. You know, you progressively, that happened, it wasn't an overnight, you progressively started setting those boundaries. But since it became sort of formal as in, like, hey, there's no contact, those campaigns of denigration has been quite a direct result of setting a boundary, which it's, again, this awareness, guys. What I would say to temper that, there can be a fear that comes up. This is like, it's a major life change to become aware of it and then to start considering taking action on it. What I want to pepper in here that's ultra important is, Bellissima, like, in my experience and like guys listening in, Matilda's never been more present, more happy, more clear in, like, you've never been more clear in your vision, in your future. You've taken on the project of, you know, writing your book. That was like 10 years sort of on the shelf, sort of coming down, sort of. And ever since you've set that boundary, that book is finished. It's done. You're now, you know, confidently, courageously going out to get a book agent, et cetera, et cetera. You've set your business online, your podcast. You're stunning. It's sensational what's happening in your life. And from a family perspective, guys, believe me, like, from parenting, you know, I've been saying this to you, but I want guys listening in, and by extension, if it comes, some guys, you know, it can naturally happen that they might you know, play this and listen with their queens, which could be a beautiful relationship experience together, because you can vicariously listening to Matilda and myself speaking to it. But it's night and day. Our family, our marriage, how Matilda's now showing up in parenting without that negative mother-daughter shit going on and her being in her power. It's amazing the response that our kids are having. They're so dropped in. Your relationship with Anya and Elena, it's like off the charts brilliant now since that boundary has been set. There was like tons of issues that you were having, but it was because there was that split in energy. It's like your mother was dominating so much of your energy and your attention that you just didn't have it there to do the mothering of the daughters coming after you. So it can feel intense. It is intense. But the rewards for you and your marriage and parenting is off the charts. I just want to, again, build in context. You're playing for a really big prize here, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the reason why the first point of this list today was no respect for boundaries is because that is like really the main thing. And the minute that you start setting boundaries, all the other ways your narcissistic mother-in-law can come at you increase and crank up in intensity, as you mentioned, as we've seen it happening. We've observed it firsthand. The minute I started setting boundaries with my mother, or the minute you started setting boundaries with your narcissistic family, because again, yes, our family has changed massively. We've collectively, all of us, like our relationships together and everything has been so amazing since we started doing this work. But we've both done it. I've set boundaries with my narcissistic mother. You've set boundaries with your narcissistic family, or the members of your family that are narcissists. And when you start doing that, they attack harder. Like there is that moment when that happens, and that's why you need support to do this work. I couldn't have done it if I didn't have the support I had. I had amazing mentors and people that I was going to, support groups, men's groups, women's circles, you know, all of that. That's really important. I go a lot into that in my own podcast, and I know you, baby, go a lot into that in your own podcast. That support group is so essential to be able to navigate what happens next. But then it gets better, you know, like as these members of our family, these narcissistic members of our family just crank up their attacks, we are actually getting stronger at the same time because we're setting those boundaries and we're getting more grounded. And so it seems like it's getting worse, but it is actually getting better.
I just have to say, it's like listening to you, baby, in full flow. I just love doing these episodes every single time. But on this topic and hearing you in your fullest power, you know, stating that, and I know you're living this to your core, but you know, it's like, you know, the sort of like, effectively, the more shit that they bring, the more into our power we become. And I've seen you're doing that every single day. I just that we're here doing this as husband and wife in the sacred dance, and that you're bringing your truth. I'm just so proud of you. Like this, just, you know me, I much prefer to do profound rather than professional. Professional is like, okay, oh, next point. Profound is I just am falling in love with you more and more as you just go at this. And yeah, I don't want the moment to pass, guys. You know, that is really a potent point, Amorimia, that you were putting forward there. Support is essential. I sort of hid away from this because I was like, oh God, I don't want to be like this, you know, salesman type shit. But it's like lone wolfing on this, and you know, if your queen, if you can resonate with this and your queen can get to a point where she can accept and acknowledge, yeah, like, yeah, there's a lot of shit going down here that's affecting me, affecting our marriage. It's like I'd like to move forward and do something with it. You listening to podcasts and you know, reading books and that type, it's not enough. the effect in the nervous system is, has there's been such a tract of trauma that support is necessary. I will say, check out Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers, the podcast, and put yourself on the link there. There's a free free discovery call available to you to jump in a call with Matilda to just touch base with where you're at, with the potential of you can talk to her about. There's a waiting list there already for women that are signing up. Women are already signing up on that list to gain support, so you can have the expertise of Matilda, but also just you'll have the, you know, the firsthand experience and support of other women that are going through the exact same thing. There's nothing more important in the healing process than having other people there that are going through, embracing and facing the same inner dragons as you are, and having their support and acknowledgement and challenge and love and acknowledgement along the way. Absolutely essential. Unapologetically putting it out there. Let's rock on, baby. The context is so sacred, and when it spontaneously comes up, I think it's adding so much natural, beautiful wisdom and support to support guys listening in. And hopefully, I really do hope that if you resonate with this, like, share it on with your wife direct. Let's rock on to the next point, please.
Yeah. So point five, she will assume a role either of hero, victim, or martyr.
Can I just jump in here? Excuse me. It's like, oh my fucking God, is that true?
Yeah, your mother,
for the river of shit that comes from her, there's some collection of neurons that can so arrogantly find some perspective constantly where she's the hero that's worthy, like the hero that saved the world type shit. It's like, yeah. It's Marvel movies type heroics. It's like, oh, put on the fucking glove and took Thanos out of it. I did it for humanity type shit. And she's just being a fucking, how she could do that, like, guys, I'm just feel my energy. I'm like, I'm sort of semi laughing, but I'm like, oh my God, this point just bubbles it up in me. Please go on. Excuse me. It was a little bit outlandish what was coming through me. Wanted to share. Take us deeper into how a simple narcissistic mother-in-law can take on the role of hero, victim, and martyr.
She's a shapeshifter. Well, hero is, she will, it will seem like she's doing everything for you. Like every choice, everything, it's completely for you. Now, narcissists tend to self-sabotage themselves and hurt themselves to be at the center of attention and to control others and stuff like that, and to also to directly hurt you. She will hurt herself to hurt you. They do that. That's how they maintain control, because that's their own game. Their entire game is always to maintain control of their target. So the hero, yeah, it'll seem like everything is done for you. And some things might actually be nice. I've had experiences with my own mother-in-law where she was doing things that were really lovely, like at times, but ultimately extremely disempowering of me as a woman and of us as a couple. And ultimately, the only reason they were being done was for her to gain in status and being seen as the perfect person. So it's really important. Nothing is selfless with a narcissist. Everything is selfish completely. And every time she's doing something for you, there's always a game plan, a turnaround that she's looking for, always. Victim and martyr, oh my. She will tell you that she can't be without you, that, I mean, you're the only people that can look after her, that, and here, like the famous stories that she can end up even living with you, or having such situation where your queen might have to mind her all the time, or, you know, do all the simple tasks that you would think she should be able to do by herself, but she seemingly isn't. And she will go on and on like that. So again, if this was just a random person on the streets, you wouldn't really think twice and you would see the dynamic. But because for your queen, this is her mother, it's really hard to see that. You are always trying to assume the best about your parents, and as a daughter, definitely about your mother, because that's just how it is. And also, you, having been reared by a narcissistic mother, grow up with a sense of guilt and responsibility for her. So when she's a victim in a situation, you have to go to her and you have to tend to her. And how that destroys the marriage is because you as a queen, so you as a husband, you might see your queen doing that. She will have no energy left for her own family unit, as Mark said, for her kids, for you as a husband, and all her energy is going to go to this martyr victim woman that needs help because she's such a hero. And she just, I mean, we can't not support her in this. Even if it's destroying us, we just still have to do this. So it's quite a dynamic, and it's very, very damaging.
The one chapter in our lives together, baby, where this comes out so much. There's so many examples, but it's like one of the one that epitomizes it the most was, little tiny bit of backstory to the guys listening in. You know, Amore Mia, you being from Italy, we moved down to Italy early on. And mm-hmm. it was at the time Anya was, you were pregnant with Anya. We moved to Italy, and we invested like 2.5 years there, which it was a super intense time. But at that time, your mother had been living in Ireland. It was sort of part of the reason. I think it's about the only positive thing I can at times is like, there's two positive things about your mother. She brought you into life. Well done. Good move. Good universe move. I can't take that away from her. Point number two, because of being such a narcissistic bit of an AH, she fucked off like when you were 12 and moved to Ireland. And again, it was actually, but that's not the core point. She always saying, I was the hero. What I did, I sacrificed myself to build a future for the family.
Yeah.
Screwed up everything. But like your sister, your stepsister was like even younger, so like a total screw up, and yet still to this day she was heroically going to Ireland to build a better future, which never came, and which like destroyed your childhoods from your mother just fucking off from one day to the next. That to the side, your mother was in Ireland, we moved to Italy, and like we bust ass together, teamwork. It was hard, it was tough bringing a kid into the world, and we were revamping from scratch. It was the scarred remains of your mother's equestrian center from when she had fecked off to Ireland and left everything from one day to the next almost. We revamped and rejuvenated the equestrian center, thousands of hours of work to get the place back looking pristine. Believe me, you know, you remember, like you had that place buzzing. We had a great business going. It wasn't perfect, you know. We still had dynamics with your grandmother, which, hey, that's the female lineage. I mean, narcissism was there in a heavy way as well. But we were making it happen. And then sort of midway through, your mother just arrived on the scene, packed up bags, had created such a shitstorm of bullshit in Ireland that she arrived home with horses, arrived in, all of these signs, no respect for boundaries, came in, started intruding on your clients, on your work, intruding on her marriage, intruding on her parenting, like had a major, I remember one of the major times with your mother was when she pulled Anya like a rag doll by the arm, because she walked up some steps where I just had to, like I said, there's two or three moments with Matilda's mother where it's like I was the one human in the family. I'm really proud of myself because I had no inner work at the time. It was raw courage, not having a fucking clue what to do. But where I set a boundary where it was like she met a granite wall. And it's like she knew, like my relationship with her changed in those moments because she knew, oh, fuck, this dude doesn't take shit. But she brought a river of total shit with her. Total destructive shit. Which led to yourself and myself going, I remember having a conversation with you going, we just can't go on here. She has brought so much shit and has brought so much disruption between us, between, you know, your granny was workable. We had like a working relationship. We could have went on. She just destroyed everything around the place. That I just had to own the need and just own the expressions, like, baby, like if we stay here any longer in a year, we're broken. We're in pieces. We will not be married. Anya will not have her dad on the scene. It's like, and I remember just saying, it's like, I love you, but this is a reality. And we ended up, we had to go. But part of the hero victim martyr was, the bit of context was essential. Guys, when we were leaving, she was there going, hey, you know, don't worry, you know, I'm taking this on the chin, you know, for ye guys. I'll help liberate you so you can have the freedom to do what you want in life. Ye go have the freedom. I'll remain here, you know, to mind Sylvia, her mother. It's like she's liberating the grandchild and her family to mind her own mother. But it was like said with, I'll be the victim. I'll sacrifice my opportunities to do what I need to do for ye. I was like, you've come and destroyed everything. You've brought constant daily arguments and shit into our lives. And now that we're leaving, you're actually claiming you're the hero. You're claiming and you're the martyr. It was astounding. It was astounding. And she has said that, like, times that every time she visited, she would bring that back out. Don't forget, guys, you know, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have been able to come to Ireland and build this beautiful life. I was like, how? How can you actually place some claim and ownership that our happiness is due to you? It was astounding. It still astounds me now. Just wanted to, again, bring real life context to how this has been playing out in our marriage.
Yeah, I remember that, and I don't have anything to add. It's just that's how they behave, and when you realize that's just a thing, that she behaves like that because she's a narcissist, the game changes, and you start seeing it for what it is. And you can have a laugh about it, like, well, that's what we're doing now. We can have a laugh about it at this point.
It's good. It's good to get to the point of laughing.
Yeah.
it's really fun to laugh and not feel like, I remember for years, like, pure nice guy stuff. So, like, this was all on me. I wasn't setting boundaries. So, guys, again, bring the element of heroic humility where you're playing a part in all of this. You know, there's just tons of times where it's not all in your wife. There's plenty of super grounded conversations and boundaries that you're setting or not setting yourself as well. So I want to put my hand up there. I was playing a very passive role for many years, apart from in the most extreme circumstances where pure necessity brought me to set those rigorous boundaries. So yeah, it's good to be laughing now. That is available to you. Again, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I hope you're getting the impression, guys, that through some of the stories, we can't go to the fullness of it in this episode, but like, it was extreme. what Matilda and myself had to go through. But just there is that hope. It's like if we could get there with the dynamic, with the mother that Matilda has and how she continually still shows up, if we can do it, you can definitely do it. It was extreme. It is extreme what we face, but it is fully possible when you become aware. When you start from that foundation of awareness, it is possible. You can be laughing about this open-heartedly. Might take a passage of time. It takes support in that, but it is possible. Just no hopelessness is necessary. It is possible. A map, a way to get from A, where you are now, to B, where you can laugh about it, is available to you. Baby, unless you have something to add, be super cool to rock on. I think we're at number we've six. Just done number five. We're rocking on to number six.
Number
what
six.
Is yeah. Deadly Sin? number six.
Okay, so this is called gaslighting. This is part and parcel of every relationship with a narcissist. What that is the narcissist will make you question your perceptions until you think you're the crazy one. You fully believe you are the crazy one. And that is, it can happen at different degrees, but effectively, the more subtle, you know, it's very obvious that certain situations are extreme, and yet there are subtle ways that she can turn the situation around and speak to it in a way or act in a way that you will feel like you are the one losing your mind, and that ultimately she's doing what she's supposed to be doing, and whatever is happening within you is just because you have issues, she doesn't. And this can work directly or indirectly, as in, again, as I said at the beginning, they kind of work together. These different things are interwoven. They're not just separate. So she can use this. She can use this to manipulate your queen. So she might feel like she's losing her mind, or she might start seeing you as you are losing your mind, as her mother is just telling her how this is going down and how the real reality is, and what you are telling her is not the real reality. And it can get very like horror movie like, you know, it's like you really question. I have been in places in my life where if it weren't for photos, I know recently you've asked me on certain photos, why have I kept them? It's because I need those photos to remember that actually was reality, because my mom has told me so many things in ways that has just messed up really with my perception of reality, to the point that I thought I was crazy, like crazy that I had imagined things. My memories, my conscious memories are messed up, and I need an anchor to go, okay, no, reality is that. What she's telling you is just a manipulation of reality. So again, that can be really difficult, because then you're trying to have a rational, objective conversation with your queen, and you discover that there's no objectivity, there's no rationality there, but that is the result of the manipulation.
It's a real key part for the support group, you know, getting into a women's circle, where I know in men's groups, there was this part where one of the most healing experiences for me was just that acknowledgement and validation from other powerful men. It's like, yeah, Mark, that's really bad. That's not nice for you. Like, your needs are not being met. Hey, it's okay. Like, how you're perceiving that situation, it's okay. If anything, you know, a lot of the time they were like, I think you're underreporting how deep this hurt is for you. Could that be true? And then I remember at times I burst into tears, because finally it's like, wow, you know, I have a truth. I'm allowed to speak to this stuff. This is affecting me in a very deep way. But yeah, the narcissistic traits, as you say, with the gaslighting, is you just get you don't know what your reality is. It's this really screwed up inner world thing, and it's so confusing and traumatizing to experience. I just want to I let you keep going. You were really mid flow, but if any perfectionist minds are listening in, and you know, there could have been some critical responses as you listen in, that there was like hard plastic sound movement, plastic things moving in the background. When you started on your point on gaslighting, I think it was Sasha. We have like two dogs in the kitchen. Matilda's recording this from our kitchen. I don't know, was it Sasha moving it in her bed?
It must have been. I didn't even notice. Yeah.
You were mid flow. I knew well you were mid flow. That's why I didn't want to interrupt. But I just want to say, guys, yeah, if there's the perfectionist ones off you, it's like, oh, what would like are they not aware that there's this noise in the background? We are. It's our dog. And at some point, the pitter patter of our daughter's feet could come true. I've given this context. We're making shit happen. Just keeping it real. So yeah, we're aware that there's a sound behind. It's in our kitchen. Welcome into our home, into our real life. This is what we're doing to make shit happen. And upgrades are going to be coming along the way. We will eventually have a studio that's part of the vision, where we can have like both of us recording there in the space. But we're making shit happen because, yeah, we're unstoppable.
Yeah.
And we're unstoppable, guys. We don't stop for anything. Done is better than perfect. And that's how we're building this, both movements, Be the Husband She Brags About, Daughters of Narcissistic Husbands, and just serving egos.
Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers.
What did I say? Did I say?
Daughters of Narcissistic Husbands.
Oh, fuck. Don't ever bring that topic out. Don't do that to me, baby. Oh man, Freudian slip. Listen, it's a joke. Maybe it is a Freudian slip. I have had core. The more you've done work in narcissism, the Mr. Nice Guy, I want to own it. We can joke about it, but I want to own the nice guy is profoundly narcissistic, self-centered. So, hey. Maybe there was some intuitive sort of honesty coming through me, Freudian style. Without going into that, and yeah, please just don't do that podcast title. keep your full your three-pronged approach on your mother. You know, like that's okay. I can support your podcast as it is. Without any more of that joking on the side, I think we're gaslighting was number six.
Baby. Yeah, we're at the last one.
Coming into number seven, enlighten us.
So this is just to understand that this point, number seven, underlines all other points, and is the narcissistic mother will do everything to control her daughter, as well as the narcissistic mother will do everything to control her son. Okay, so in this case, talking about your mother-in-law, she will do anything to keep her daughter under her control. It doesn't matter how she has to do that. As we said, she can self-sabotage, she can hurt you and others, she can hurt herself, she can speak badly, she can do whatever is necessary. Lie outright, spy on you, speak bad about you. The list is infinite, but it's all to keep her daughter under her control. So that's really important to keep in mind. It's that entangled relationship mother-daughter that she's safeguarding because she needs that. She needs that to survive, literally. There's no need to go in depth into all the reasons why. I suppose we touched on it. She is not an evil person. It's important to remember that. She's just a deeply traumatized person. Deeply, deeply traumatized, and that hasn't come across the tools to heal for many different reasons. And so she has become this, she has taken on this narcissistic role. That's her protective mechanism to go through life. So this can bring a little bit of compassion in the whole thing, which is important. But nonetheless, she's toxic and she can potentially destroy your marriage and your life. And so boundaries are needed. Yeah, so that's really it. That was point seven, is the controlling, to keep in mind that that's what she's going to try and do. And it is a lot easier for you as an outsider to that entangled relationship to see that than it is for your queen. So again, we've touched on that, Mark, you've said that. It's easier for me to see the entanglement of you with your narcissistic relatives. And it was easier for you to see the entanglement of me with my mother than it is for the subject. Clearly, that is in the mess to see that. So it's really important to keep that in mind. You need tact and you need to be kind and you need to, there's a lot of work to do and you need support in order to come out of this messy relationship.
Yeah. I think the one most practical experience that I believe both of us had that showed evidence of, oh, that's the, we could see the impact it was having on the other, was sort of simple phone calls. I could see in you, it's like one phone call with your mother, we're going to pay the price for 2-3 days, and then eventually, and like you could have an argument with me, an argument with the girls, this tension would be there. And it was like, it just became this classic pattern of, yeah, like when I became aware of it and you became aware of it in me, it's like a certain phone call with one of particular of my two brothers, you'd be like, yeah, Mark, hey, you were on a call with him 2 or 3 days ago, a week ago, and now you're having all this shit coming through and self-doubt about your business. And now, you know, now you're super critical of a certain thing that we decided in marriage, like you just had that call a few days ago. Can you make the link? The calls were one of these particular things where it's like, yeah, wow, like 1 20-minute call, 40-minute call, and then disharmony. It was like this classic sign that was happening, but you were seeing it in me. I couldn't make the link, and eventually you got to the point of humility to go, yeah, actually it is having that effect. It is, it really is. And it's negative for me. It's negative for what I was bringing to you as a husband in marriage and my parenting and vice versa. It is that most important point, guys, is keep it human. You know, believe me, you were making a great point there. It's like, yeah, have compassion. If you can have compassion and understanding that she's not evil. I can bring lots of laughter to many points that I really feel okay saying that your mother is resident evil. But apart from the joking part, I keep a bit of cathartic release there, a little bit of fucking shadow humor. But beyond that, compassion, yeah. But what I would say, guys, is, and you know, the language I use in my own life, to support me setting, you know, non-negotiable boundaries when necessary, is 100% empathy. You like empathizing with another person's human experience, that's okay. 0% sympathy. You don't sympathize to the point of which, oh, but you know, poor whore and the childhood she had, and poor whore what she had to go through, as you drop your boundaries, as you, your marriage, as your kids, your sacred, you know, your sacred union as a family unit gets fucked over. 0% sympathy. Raise your standards, you know, very little tolerance, high standards, high tolerance, low standards. There's these key distinctions. If you have high tolerance of a narcissistic mother-in-law, you're going to have low standards, and your marriage is going to suffer. Your wife will suffer. You will suffer. Your marriage, your parenting, and your future. I would say, baby, and I know this is two-way traffic as we've been treading in the whole way along, both sides in my family of origin and how I was relating with them and you relating with your mother and extended family. Our marriage, guys, has like skyrocketed in love, in connection, in regard, in depth of humor. We can be humorous. I mean, we have challenges, but since we have set boundaries with narcissistic behaviors, we're talking through the lens of narcissistic mother-in-laws now, like Matilda's able to be there completely with me. And there's like infinitely less criticism. There's great queenly feedback. I love that. I bring that. But the sort of nasty, edgy criticism where, boy, where the fuck is that coming from? Like that background constant tension and stress that was in your system, baby. It's not there anymore. Like you're relaxed, you're at peace, and there's more to do on your healing path, but it's like you're infinitely there, and it's like so easy to communicate with you because you're predominantly relaxed. That has exclusively come from you setting boundaries with your mother. Exclusively. Like it's just like being the most important point, which is like in that context, guys, you know, be the husband she brags about, you can get hyper focus on, you know, what's happened between you and your beautiful queen, and oh, it's not working, and it's like, you know, some guys come to me on discovery calls, Mark, I'm trying all of these things, and you know, it's just not having the effect. And then the elephant in the room is a narcissistic mother-in-law. It really, it's like you're pissing against the wind. You're trying to do all of these things, but until you become aware of that elephant in the room, until that you're aware and you start setting boundaries and your wife becomes aware, it's going to be really hard. It's a major obstacle in you transforming your marriage. Let's just put that context in. And gaining support is a really great next step. Baby, is there anything you'd like to add here? It's been an amazing episode, but any wisdom bombs here at the end coming into landing?
Yeah. I just want to say that both. So when you're coming into a relationship and you get married and stuff, supposedly, you know, like the ideal scenario would have been that you've had as a husband, you've had a beautiful mother that has nourished you, and then because she's fulfilled and happy in herself, she's done her job, and then at some point she's released you and she's happy to let you go. And as a queen, as a wife, you have the same thing. You have like a beautiful mother that has nourished you, brought you into this world, showed you how to be a woman in the most beautiful and evolved ways, and then just is happy to let you go. And both these people are there as like a safety net, that if you need support, they're gonna be open to support you, but otherwise they're gonna let you experience your life the way you choose. Okay, this is what the ideal would be, but it's so far from how it is. I mean, if you've had that as an experience, I mean, awesome. I'm really happy for you. But like, I haven't spoken to any human as of like present now that has actually had that experience. Like we come from a deeply traumatized generation before ours, and the one before was that traumatized as well. So, and it goes on as we go into the past. So there's narcissists pretty much in every parent that is out there, and we are the result of it. So we're the one breaking the cycle. The more awareness we bring to this, we are breaking the cycle. And we need to understand that when you're coming into marriage, you are still deeply entangled into the relationship with your parents. And in this case, we're talking about mothers. For sons as well, there's like quite a deep entanglement with their mothers. So you're bringing that, you're both bringing that into the relationship. There's no finger pointing that is useful. You know, your mother is worse than mine, and da da da. That's just really destructive as well. And the entanglement works both ways. So it's just to keep remembering that it's really important, because I've done a lot of work with my own relationship with my mother, setting boundaries, and I've been no contact for a year and a half. And before that, I was beginning to set boundaries, you have done a lot of work with your own entanglement with your parents. And without that, you know, the work of only one person is not enough. It's a start and it's amazing and it helps, but it's just what has really sorted our situation has been working from both directions. So as you're seeing your mother-in-law, just start bringing awareness to how your own mother is also behaving, or your father, or your relatives, or whoever, your siblings, whoever is in your family. Bring that awareness on both sides as much as possible.
Beautiful wisdom bombing at the end. I'd piggyback a little bit off that and set the direct challenge, the masculine challenge to every man listening in. There's a major role for you in this, in supporting your queen. She's your queen. She's the epicenter of your human life experience, and beyond your own spiritual relationship with yourself, like in an outward way, she's there. Like, that's the way. And your role is to support her in creating a healing space in your home, in your marriage, where when she's in your presence, she's feeling as much as is available to you. And hey, like, there's limitless levels of profundity, but as much as is available, your role is to make sure she feels seen, heard, and safe. That you know that you're perceiving she's having a human experience. One of my major roles that I found, like, I was getting very critical early on. It's like, oh, for God's sake, you've allowed your mother to do that again. You know, with Matilda, it's like, oh, for God, she fucking done it again. You're getting upset. Like, why do you keep getting upset? It was like, hey, I had no awareness. I was doing the best I could. What changed everything from my role? Yes. Matilda definitely had to be the lead, take a lead in it, in her inner world way of relating with her mother. But there's a major role for you in supporting your queen, and it's showing up and holding space and going, you know, things change when I started, you know, speaking with you, Bellissima, when it was more along the lines of, hey, baby, you're totally upset, like after a call. That's understandable. You've went through an immense amount of trauma when you were younger, baby. That's okay. You're human to have this, you know. But what are you going to do about it? Like, is there anything, like, what works for you? I started bringing a consistent, safe approach where, hey, you're having a human experience, and that was brought when I started doing men's work, and I started realizing, I'm bringing a ton of shit to this relationship as well. You know, all my wounds. I'm human. Just bring humanness into it, into your own inner work. And as you relate with your queen, she's having a human experience. It's intense. If she's had a full childhood with a narcissistic mother, that's bloody intense. And she needs her divine king to drop his spiritual balls and show the fuck up and do whatever is necessary to get his nervous system into a space where he has the skills and the capacity to be able to hold a safe space where she can feel seen, heard, and safe. It's not your job to heal her. You can't do that work for her, but you do have a sacred role as the king in her life to learn how to. That's on you as well, guys. I just don't want this episode to be all pointed. The escape door route is like, oh, it's all on your wife. It's 100%, 100%. Bit of context there, guys. And I believe in your power. I know Matilda believes in your queen's power. We collectively, as a couple, we're doing our king and queen. We've come through ferocious challenges externally, internally. We know it's possible. So no matter how difficult, how toxic the relationship has been, no matter how destructive it has been, no matter how much disconnection you and your queen have had to until today, we've seen it all. We've been through it. It is possible. You know, one step at a time. Reach out, get support. Yeah. there's a great future coming down the line for all of you. It is totally possible for you. Bellissima, this has been another powerhouse of a conversation. I love you, baby. You're sensational. You keep showing up what you're doing with your work. I better get this right. Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. No random nouns getting in there. Your work there and how you're showing up with your own mother in your own inner world, your healing journey. You're a true sensational embodiment of what is possible when a woman really takes this work upon herself and goes at it, and you continue to reach out and get mentoring and coaching and do embodiment work with other teachers. You're vociferously, like, you're obsessive with where you're going. So I'm excited that your podcast is having such an impact, an early impact, and will continue to grow. I'm just excited. Excited with everything you're doing. Just so proud and so in love with you, baby. Thanks for coming on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Guys, the topic is there. The 7 deadly sins, I'm not allowed to say, of evil mother-in-laws, of compassionate, having a human experience, narcissistic mother-in-laws. Let's finish with some bit of conscious language on it. The gauntlet is there. There's the 7 signs. No respect for boundaries, criticism, triangulation, campaigns of denigration with flying monkeys, role of hero, victim, martyr, gaslighting, and ultimately what connects them all together is keeps daughter under control. The signs are there. The episode is there. Keep coming back to it. Bring your queen to it. Show up to it. The direct invitation is invite your wife into the conversation in a beautiful, open-hearted way, in the most tactful, safe way that is available to you. And hey, support your wife. Introduce her to Matilda's amazing podcast, Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers. I'll have the podcast link, Matilda's podcast link. It is at the end of every podcast description of every episode I always have it there. It'll be up front and center at the top of this episode. It's super exciting. It's amazing what my beautiful, beloved queen is doing there, is gifting there. It's like epic, just the value and the insights and the wisdom that's coming through there that will really be so supportive for your queen. The feedback that Matilda's been getting from emails and messages coming through has been like off the charts amazing. The initial feedback from women that have reached out to her. So it's an epic resource that will be of massive value to your queen if you're resonating. And a lot of you will resonate with what my beautiful queen has brought forward in this episode. As always, with every episode we do here on a bi-weekly basis, this has been perfectly in alignment with the Mantra Offer movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing, beautifully, beautiful kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.